As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Jesus spoke these words just before healing a blind man. In fact, a man who had been born blind, before giving light to a man who had lived his entire life in darkness. We find in this miracle actually a sign. In fact, John's gospel refers to these as signs because it's a picture of something. It has significance. It's a picture of Israel's spiritual blindness, not just theirs, but I think ours as well. It's also a picture of Jesus' power as the light of the world to give sight and to give life, spiritual life, to those who will believe on him. Sadly, not everyone is open to see that truth. Not everyone is open to see who Jesus truly is and to listen to what he has to say. Turn with me to John chapter 9, where we did our scripture reading this morning. This passage demonstrates the fact that not everyone listens, not everyone hears and is open to the truth. As we read through this passage, I want you to notice the difference between the man who was healed, the Jewish people who were his friends and neighbors and family, and then the Pharisees who get involved in this situation as well. Let's read through it beginning in verse 10. We read the first nine verses. Verse 10, it says, after he acknowledges that he is the one who was blind and now he can see, they said to him, how were your eyes opened? And he answered and said, a man called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said to me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. So I went and washed and I received sight. Then they said to him, well, where is he? And he said, I do not know. And they brought him who formerly was blind to the Pharisees. Now it was a Sabbath when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. And the Pharisees also asked him again how he had received his sight. And he said to them, he put clay on my eyes and I washed and I see. Therefore, some of the Pharisees said, this man is not from God because he does not keep the Sabbath. Others said, well, how can a man who is a sinner do such signs? And there was a division among them. And they said to the blind man again, well, what do you say about him because he opened your eyes? And he said, he is a prophet. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight until they called the parents of him who had received his sight. And they asked them, saying, is this your son who you say was born blind? How then does he now see? His parents answered them and said, we know that this is our son and that he was born blind. But by what manner he now sees, we do not know. Or who opened his eyes, we do not know. He is of age. Ask him. He will speak for himself. Now his parents said these things because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had agreed already that if anyone confessed that he was Christ, he would be put out of the synagogue. Therefore his parents said, he is of age, ask him. So they again called the man who was blind and said to him, give God the glory. We know this man is a sinner. And he answered and said, whether he's a sinner or not, I do not know. One thing I know, that though I was blind, now I see. And then he said to him again, well, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? And he answered them. He says, I told you already and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples? Then they reviled him and said, you are his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. We know that God spoke to Moses, but as for this fellow, we do not know where he is from. The man answered and said to them, why, this is a marvelous thing that you do not know where he is from. And yet he has opened my eyes. Now, we know that God does not hear sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, he hears him. Since the world began, it's been unheard of that anyone opened the eyes of one who was born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. And they answered and said to him, you were completely born in sins, and are you teaching us? And they cast him out. It's interesting contrast here. The Jewish people, his friends, even his family, they were a little bit afraid. And they didn't know what to think. I mean, the first thing they do is they take the man to the Pharisees. They're going to take him to the people who supposedly are the experts in religion and matters like this. And so they took him to their leaders, the rulers, the Pharisees. And so they depended on somebody else kind of to do their thinking for them. The Pharisees, they refused to believe in Jesus, in spite of the fact that this was a notable miracle that has been done. And they can't deny the miracle, but they've got to find something to bring an accusation. So they bring up issues about, well, he did it on the Sabbath. He can't be from God if he does it on the Sabbath. So we see them. They simply refuse to believe in Jesus as the Christ, the Son of God. The man himself is the only one here who really has an open mind. And you see him grow in this whole process. I mean, when it starts out, he's blind. He listens to what Jesus says and he obeys. Jesus tells him what to do and he does that. And when he's asked about it later, you know, he says, you know, how were your eyes open? He says, well, a man told me what to do. So he made clay, put it on my eyes, told me to go wash in the pool or something. So he says, just some man. Where is he? I don't know. I haven't seen him since then. You know, so and as it goes on, you know, he says, well, what do you say about him? And he says, he's a prophet. He must be sent from God. He must have come from God because he was able to do this. So he sees that he's a prophet. Later on, when they continue to question this, I love the statement that he makes in verse 25. The Pharisees say, give God the glory for this. This man's a sinner. And the man says, I don't know whether he's a sinner or not. I mean, you're supposed to be the religious experts and the experts on the law. He says, I know one thing. I was blind. I once was blind and now I can see. And it's almost like, how do you explain that? Explain that away. How did that happen? From a man who you claim is a sinner. And it goes on and further. And then finally, we get down to verse 33. And he finally says this in verse 33. This is an amazing thing that he's opened the eyes of somebody born blind. The world has never even heard of that. If this man, he says, were not from God, he could do nothing. This has to be from God. You say it's not God. This has to be from God. And so they are incensed by that and they cast him out. Now, look at verse 35. Here's what happens when he finally is brought face to face with the man who healed him. Verse 35, Jesus heard that they had cast him out. And when he had found him, Jesus went looking for him and found him. And he said to him, do you believe in the Son of God? Do you believe in the Son of God? And the man answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him? And he called Jesus Lord. He acknowledged him as at least someone come from God. Who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him? And Jesus said to him, you have both seen him, and it is he who is talking with you. In other words, I am the Son of God. And look at his response. And he said, Lord, I believe. I believe. And what did he do? He worshiped him. It's Jesus, the great I am, the eternal an eternally existing God, twice called himself the light of the world. We saw it here in John chapter 5. As long as I am in the world, he said, I am the light of the world. In John chapter 8, turn there with me for just a second. John chapter 8, look at verse 12. He had already said it once before, just prior to this, as he spoke in the treasury area of the temple. Verse 12, Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. The word light, the Greek word there is the word phos. It's where we get words like English words like photon and phosphorus and photography. Photography is light writing with light. It is light. It is light that is absolute and light that is underived. I mean, it's not a reflected light, okay? It's not a reflected light or a light that shines, in some other way. It is light that is the source of light within itself, absolute and underived. Jesus describes himself as the source of light. He is the light. He is the light, absolute. He is the source of light because he is the creator of light. You know, God created the world through Jesus Christ. We read that in Colossians chapter 1, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 9. And in Genesis chapter 1, verse 3, what does it say? And God said, what? Let there be light. God spoke. The Lord Jesus Christ spoke and said, let there be light. And there was light. He is the creator of light. And in fact, he himself is light. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5 says, God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. The Lord Jesus Christ is the light. But he's described here as the light of the world. The light of the world. Now, the world sometimes is used to refer to the universe that God created. The word is cosmos. That's where we get our word cosmetics. It's an ordered arrangement of things that God has made. The universe is an ordered arrangement, God's creation. But it also is used numerous times in Scripture to refer to a particular thing that's a part of the world, and that's the people of the world, the unsaved of the world. When you read in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." He's talking about the people of the world. He's talking about the unsaved people of the world. And that's what I think we have reference to here. He is the light of the world. He is the light of the people of the world. He came into this world, the world that He created, and He dwelt among men, the unsaved people of the world. He came to give them light. He came to give light to those who walk in spiritual darkness, because that describes everyone, not just the Jews, not just the nation of Israel. That describes all of us. We're born into this world. We're born spiritually blind, and we walk in that darkness. In fact, the book of Ephesians chapter 5 says we once were darkness. It doesn't just say we were in darkness. We were darkness. We were darkness. But Jesus came to give light. Look at John chapter 1 with me. Most of these passages we're going to look at this morning are in John's gospel, because he has a lot to say about this issue of and this picture of Jesus as the light. We know that John the Baptist was sent from God to be the forerunner of the Lord Jesus. He came to prepare the way of the Lord. He came to prepare a people to receive Jesus as their Messiah, as their Christ, and as the Son of God. Look at verse 6. We see the description of John given in verse 6. He says, "There was a man sent from God whose name was John." John was a prophet sent from God. He says, "This man came for a witness." He came to bear testimony to something for God. He came to bear witness of the light. He was sent to bear witness, to bear testimony of the light. Notice the next statement. That all through him might believe. That everyone would have an opportunity. That all through him might believe. Now, look at verse 8. He was not that light. John was asked several times, "Are you the Christ? Are you the prophet that was prophesied, Moses prophesied would come?" He said, "No, I'm not." He says, I'm a voice of one crying in the wilderness to prepare the way of the Lord. I'm simply sent before him. I'm not the one." And he was not that light. He was sent for this purpose, to bear witness of that light. In the book of John, chapter 5, verse 35, I'll give you the reference. He was referred to as a burning and a shining lamp. Lamp. He's not the source of light. John wasn't the source of light. He was a lamp. He was a holder of light. A light that had come and been given to him by God. He was only a light holder. He was not the light. Look at verse 9. He says, "That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world." The Lord Jesus Christ is the true light. Look at verse 4. John chapter 1, verse 4. "In him," in the Lord Jesus Christ, "was life." In him existed life, and it existed eternally in him. And he says, "And that life, that spiritual, that eternal life that existed in him was the light of men." The light in Jesus, that life in Jesus is the light of men. He was the true light. Look at verse 9 again. He was the true light. True light. He says, "That was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world." The Greek here is a little bit difficult to sometimes understand, but I think what it really is saying is this: by Jesus coming into the world, He gave light to every man. I think that's what he's saying in that verse of Scripture. Jesus coming into the world provided a way for every man to see the light. You know, God spoke in the Old Testament times by His prophets. But when the Lord Jesus Christ entered this world, it says in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 2, God spoke in His Son. Not just by His Son. God spoke in His Son so that they could see the light of life that was in Him. He was the true light which gives light to every man by His coming into the world. Look at verse 10. How did the world respond? He says, He was in the world, and the world was made through Him. He says, and the world did not know Him. He came into this world that He created. He came to His own people. His own people, Israel, that were a part of His own nation, but His own creatures, people that He had created. And it says they did not know Him. They did not recognize Him for who He truly was. Even though, was there evidence? Was there proof? Were there signs that He was the Messiah? Were there signs that He was the Son of God? Were there things that He could do that only God could do? How could a man give sight to a blind man? Where does that power come from? That power only comes from God. The signs were there, but they didn't know Him. Look at verse 11. He came to His own. Again, His own people, His own creation, and His own did not receive Him. In other words, they refused Him. They rejected him. They crucified him on a cruel cross. He came to his own people, but they refused to see him and believe him. But look at verse 12. As many as received him by faith, as many as believed in him, as many as received him, to them he gave the right, the authority, the power to become children of God. Become a part of the family of God. He says, to those who believe in his name. To those who believed in his name, he was the source of life. He was the source of light. He brought them out of darkness and he brought them into the light. They believed in him. You know, the Jews were asked, this was the message they were asked to believe. There's more today of the gospel message that we're asked to believe. But the Jews were just asked to believe in him, to believe in his name, to believe that he was the Christ, their anointed one, sent by God, anointed by God to be their king, to believe that he was the Lord, the Son of God, the eternal Son of God. If they simply believed that he was the Lord Jesus Christ, that was salvation for them. That was life to them. That's all they were asked to believe. And as many as received him and believed those truths became a part of God's family. Look at verse 13. They were born. They experienced what Jesus told Nicodemus about. A new birth. A birth from above. A spiritual birth. They were born. It wasn't a born birth of blood. It wasn't their bloodline that brought that about. It wasn't the will of the flesh. It wasn't anything they could do in the flesh. It wasn't the will of man. No man was a part of this salvation. This birth, this new life came from God. It was all of God. Now we might ask this question. How was Jesus the light of the world? Look right here in John chapter 1. Number one, Jesus manifested God to them. Manifested God. Look at verse 18. It says, no one has seen God at any time. Now, you know, the closest thing we could come to that would be Moses. When Moses went up on Mount Sinai, he talked about being able to see the back parts or the hindmost parts of God. But he didn't see God face to face. No one could do that. You know, and God can't really be seen in the sense that God is what? God's a spirit. God is a spirit, so he is the unseen God. No one has seen God at any time. But notice the next statement. The only begotten Son, the one and only begotten Son of God, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. He has declared him. That word declared means to lead someone forth so that he can be clearly seen. Jesus led forth God, an unseen God, the unseen God, so that people could see and know him. He would tell his disciples later, the night before he was crucified, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. Philip said, just show us the Father. And Jesus says, have I been with you so long, Philip, that you don't know that if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I and my Father are one. He declared God. Look in John chapter 12. John chapter 12. You know, John himself said this. He said, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. When you looked at the Lord Jesus Christ, you could see the glory of God. He wasn't in the form of God. He wasn't in that glorious form that he had been with God. He looked like a plain Jewish man. But you could see in his life and his heart and his character, his words and his actions, you could see the glory of God. In John chapter 12, look with me down at verse 44. This is after Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. Jesus cried out and he said, he who believes in me, believes not in me, but in him who sent me. To believe in me is to believe in the one who sent me. He says, and he who sees me, sees him who sent me. You see, his life, his words, his works were all those that the Father had given him to do. And to declare the glory of God, to declare the glory of the Father. When you believe in me, you don't believe just in me. You believe in the one who sent me. You believe in my Father. When you see me, you don't just see me. You see the one who sent me, my Father. Verse 46, I have come as a light into the world, that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. Whoever believes in me, there's no need for you to continue and abide in darkness. So Jesus manifested God, the unseen God. Number two, Jesus is the light of the world in the sense that in Jesus' character, in his person, in his words and his works, he exposed the sinfulness of all people. He exposed the sin of men and therefore showed them that they had a need. They had a need for a Savior. He did that just by being here upon this earth. Right here in John chapter 12, keep reading with me. Verse 46 again. I have come as a light into the world, that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. That you should no longer remain in that spiritual darkness you've been in your whole life. Look at verse 47. If anyone hears my words and does not believe, he says, I do not judge him. Jesus did not come into the world to judge or condemn anybody. He didn't sit in judgment upon people at that time. He came to do what? Not to condemn the world, but to do what? To save. That the world through him might be saved. To seek and to save that which was lost. So he says, if anyone hears my words and does not believe, I do not judge him. For I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. But he who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him, has that which condemns him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day. So you could listen to what Jesus taught and you could see and know. If you would listen, if you would hear and believe, you would see and know without question that you're a sinner. You know, in Matthew chapter 5, you read there where Jesus is talking about the law and what the law really meant. You know, the Jews, especially led by the Pharisees, had this mistaken idea that they were righteous. They believed that they were capable of keeping the law, and therefore they were righteous. They could say, I've never killed anybody, I've never stolen anything, and go through the list. But Jesus said, you don't understand what the law actually says. You don't understand the nature of the law. Have you ever been angry with somebody and felt like you wanted to do them harm? Then you've broken the law. Have you ever looked at a woman? You men, have you ever looked at a woman and lusted after her? Then you've already committed adultery with her in your heart. He pointed out to them the nature of the law. The law and breaking of the law starts in the sinful heart. And what do we know from the Old Testament scriptures and what they should have known? The heart is deceitful above all things. And what else? Desperately wicked. And yet they would not acknowledge their sin. But Jesus' words made it clear that they were sinners. That they were sinners. Look at John chapter 15. John chapter 15. Jesus is talking to the 11 apostles who are left. Judas has already left them and gone to arrange for the betrayal. And so he's talking to these 11 apostles and talking about their ministry. That they're going to go out into the world and preach the gospel of the kingdom to the Jews. They're going to go out into the world and preach that. And when they do, he says, the world is going to hate you. The world is going to hate you because it hated me first. Now, why would they hate Jesus? Look at verse 21. John chapter 15, verse 21. He says, all these things they will do to you for my name's sake. They're going to hate you because of me, because they do not know him who sent me. They claim to be the worshipers of one God, but they don't know the one true God, the one who sent me, my Father. Look at verse 22. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would have had no sin. They would have no sin. If I hadn't come and spoken to them, they would have no sin. But now that he had come, now that he had spoken, he says they have no excuse for their sin. You see, Jesus' words exposed them as sinners. His words exposed them as sinners and left them without excuse. Look at verse 23. He who hates me hates my Father also. Verse 24. If I had not done among them the works which no one else did, they would have no sin. Not my words exposed their sin and my works demonstrating who I am. Who I am. He says that exposed them as well. It's if I had not done among them the works which no one else did, they would have no sin. But now they have seen and also hated both me and my Father. See, if they would love me, they love my Father. They say they love the Father, but if they don't love me, they hate my Father also. Look at verse 25. This happened that the word might be fulfilled, which is written in their law. They hated me without a cause. They hated me without a cause. Now, the third thing, Jesus is the light of the world in the sense that he also manifested to the world the one way to have eternal life. And that was by believing in him. And at that time, it simply meant believing in his name, that he was Lord and Christ. In John chapter 12, verse 46, go back there for just a second. I have come as a light into the world that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. Notice, there's nothing in there about keeping the law. There's nothing in there about keeping the commandments. There's nothing in there about circumcision. What are they asked to do? Believe in me. They were under the law. They were under the covenant. They were going through all the rituals and the parts of the law because they were under the law. And they needed to do that to be obedient to God. But they never believed. Their hearts never believed in Him. You believe in me. You believe in me, I'm the person. You don't have to abide in darkness anymore. You don't have to remain and continue in darkness. You can be brought into the light. Look at verse 36. Notice what He says to them. In fact, yeah, verse 36. While you have the light, He says, believe in the light. While the light is here, believe in the light that you may become sons of light. They were at that time sons of darkness. They were in darkness and living in darkness and walking in darkness. You want to become sons of light? Believe in me. Believe in the light. Look back at John chapter 8 for just a second. John chapter 8. Look at verse 12. Again, we read this a minute ago, but read it again with me. Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. And then He says this, He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Eternal life, spiritual life. You want to have life, real life, true life, eternal life? He says, you follow me. You don't have to walk in darkness anymore. You follow me. You believe in me. Look at verse 32. He says, you shall know the truth. And the truth shall make you free. And they answered Him. They said, we are Abraham's descendants. We've never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you'll be made free? And Jesus answered them, most assuredly, verily, verily, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. He pointed them to the problem. The problem is sin. You're in bondage to sin. He says, and a slave does not abide in the house forever. A son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Only the Son, the light, could make them free. Only those who would follow and believe in the light could be made sons of light. To be made sons of light. They no longer needed to be slaves of sin and righteousness. You could be free, totally free, by believing in Him. And yet, the majority of the people in Israel, and certainly among the Gentiles, did not receive Him, did not believe in Him, did not believe in His name. They wouldn't accept Him as the Messiah. Israel would not accept Him as their Messiah. And they certainly didn't believe He was the Son of God. In fact, they said He must be of Satan. He must be a prince of the demons to do the things that He does. He can't be God. John chapter 8, verse 12, Jesus declared this wonderful declaration of Himself as the light of the world. But if you read the next portion of Scripture, you'll see it's followed up by questions, by doubts, by sarcasm, and by misunderstanding on the part of the Jews. Look at verse 13. The Pharisees said to Him after He said that, He says, you bear witness of yourself. Your witness is not true. We don't believe what you said. We don't believe what you said. We can't believe you just testifying for yourself. Look at verse 19. He talked about the fact that His Father bore witness of Him as well. Not just Him, but My Father as well. Fulfilling the law that there must be two or three witnesses. And they asked Him in verse 19, well, where is your Father? When they thought of Jesus' Father, they thought of that man who was a carpenter living back in Nazareth, Joseph. But that's not who He was talking about. He's talking about God the Father, His true Father. Look at verse 22. He tells them that He's going to go away and they can't follow Him. And so they ask Him, verse 22, they're perturbed by this. They don't understand what He means. The Jews said, will He kill Himself because He says, where I cannot go, where I go, you cannot come? Almost sarcastic a little bit in their response to Him. Verse 25, they said to Him, who are you? Who are you? I almost kind of read that like, who do you think you are? Who do you think you are? Who are you claiming to be? And verse 27, we read, they did not understand that He spoke to them of the Father. Jesus made a very powerful statement to them in verse 23. Look at it with me for a second. Jesus said to them, you are from beneath. He says, I am from above. You are of this world. I am not of this world. He had already told them that He had been sent from the Father. I am not from this world. I was sent from the Father. I'm from above. You're of this world. I'm not. Verse 24, and then He said this, therefore, I said to you that you will die in your sins. For if you do not believe that I am He, you will die in your sins. He make it very clear there what's required. You want to have life? You want to be saved from your sins? You want to have spiritual life, eternal life? You must do something. You must believe. He says, I told you that you're going to die in your sins because He says, if you do not believe that I am He, you will die in your sins. Now, the word He, if you look in your Bibles, is in italics. There's no word for he in the original Greek. What it says is this, literally, if you do not believe that I am, you will die in your sins. If you do not believe that I am, you will die in your sins. Now, certainly I think they needed to believe that he was sent from his Father. Certainly I think they needed to believe that he was sent from above. But it's more than that. They needed to believe that Jesus himself was the great I am. He was the eternally existing God. He was not a lesser being at all. As the Son of God is not a title of showing that he's less than the Father at all. It's a relationship. It's a relationship title, but it's not a level title. They are both God. I and my Father, he said, are one. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. You honor me in the same way you honor the Father. You don't say that unless you're equal. You must believe that I am. Before Abraham was, he said, I am. I existed. You must believe that. If you do not believe that, he said, you're going to die in your sins. You're going to die spiritually and eternally in your sins. And we look at this and we say, why? Why would the Jews reject this wonderful truth? Why would they reject this person who came to give them light and who came to give them life? Why would they reject it? The Jews were offended at Jesus. They were offended at the things that he said. Well, why? Number one, I think the primary reason, I think, is because he exposed their sins. The whole basis of the Pharisees' beliefs and their religion, at least what they had turned Judaism into. The religion they were living under was the covenant God made with them. But they had corrupted the covenant. They had corrupted the law of God, and they were basically following their own traditions, their own views, the traditions of men. And so, according to their traditions, they looked at themselves as righteous. They considered themselves to be righteous. Self-righteousness, yes, but they thought that they were righteous in the eyes of God. They didn't want to hear about being sinners. They didn't want their sins exposed. They didn't want to hear that at all. And the second thing about that is there's nothing they could do or say to refute the truth that Jesus spoke. There was nothing they could respond to in him. They would love to have found something to accuse him of. Something they could bring before the people and say, well, he's guilty of this and he did this and surely he's not from God because of this. And the one thing that they jumped on over and over again was the Sabbath. Now, he might have broken the traditions that they held in regard to the Sabbath, but he had not broken the Sabbath. And he explained that to them. In his teaching, he made that very clear. So, that's why it says in John chapter 15, verse 25, they hated him, literally, without a cause. There was nothing in Jesus. There was nothing that Jesus said or did or was in any way that would lead people to hate him. And yet they did. We see this brought out in John chapter 9, where we read a minute ago. The Pharisees said this, we know that this man is a sinner. Speaking about Jesus. We know this man is a sinner. And the reason they thought that was because he didn't keep the Sabbath. I mean, he made clay and put it on this man's eyes and healed him on the Sabbath. That's breaking the law. That's sin. And then go back with me to John 9 for just a second. I want you to notice the statement they make. After this man, the man was born blind, who's now seeing much more light than these men ever saw. When he begins to see what's really happening here, and he explains it to them, he says, you are not even looking at this from a logical standpoint. It's clear this man is from God. Otherwise, he could do nothing. Look at verse 34. Here's how they responded to the man born blind. They answered and they said to him, you were completely born in sins. And are you teaching us? You think you're going to teach us something about spiritual matters or religious matters? He says, and therefore they just cast him out. But look at the statement. You were completely born in sins. Do you think you're going to teach us? What are they implying? That they weren't. That they weren't born in sins. They are denying the fact that they are born sinners just like everybody else was. They will not acknowledge that. And so that was offensive to them. They were offended by this. In fact, look at the confrontation that takes place between them and Jesus. Look at verse 39. After the man that was born blind saw and believed Jesus as the Son of God and worshipped him, Jesus made this statement. Look at verse 39. For judgment, he says, I have come into this world, that those who do not see may see, and that those who see may be made blind. Well, some of the Pharisees who were with him heard these words, and they said to him, well, are we blind also? And Jesus said to them, if you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you say, we see. Therefore, your sin remains. Are we blind also? Are you really saying that we're blind too? That we're sinners too? And Jesus answers this way, an interesting thing. He says, if you were blind, you would have no sin. Now, what he means is, if you would acknowledge your spiritual blindness, acknowledge your sin and your need of a Savior, your sin will be taken care of. He says, but you don't. You say, we see. You claim that you're not sinners. You claim that you're righteous. We see perfectly fine. Therefore, he says, your sin remains because you will not acknowledge. Before a person can be saved, the first thing they must do is they must acknowledge that they are a sinner, that they are a helpless sinner in need of a Savior. After Jesus made his triumphal entry into Jerusalem, declaring himself to be Israel's Christ, he knew the time was short. The time had come for him to die on the cross of Calvary, to be lifted up on that cross, to die for the sins of the world, then to be raised from the dead, to ascend back into heaven, to leave. Where I am going, you cannot go. So he warned the Jews. Look at John chapter 12. John chapter 12, look at verse 31. All right, let's go down to verse 35. Jesus said to them, a little while longer, the light is with you. The light's only going to be here just a little bit longer. He says, walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. He who walks in darkness does not know where he is going. The light's going to be with you just a little bit longer. While the light is here, see the light. Verse 36 says, while you have the light, believe in the light. While you have the opportunity, believe in the light, that you become sons of light. Don't let the darkness overtake you. But it did. The darkness overtook them completely. And in the Garden of Gethsemane, when Jesus was arrested, they came to arrest him. Jesus made this statement. He says, this is your hour and the power of darkness. Because that darkness had overtaken them. In spite of all the miracles and signs and wonders he performed, verse 37 says, although he had done so many signs before them, they did not believe in him. Look in John chapter 3 with me. We say, why not? Why wouldn't they believe in him? As Christians, it doesn't make any sense to us. When we look at the response of people like the Pharisees, and we look at the response of people around us today, it makes no sense to us. Because we see the beautiful truth of John 3:16 and 17. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Why not believe that wonderful truth? Why do these Jews not see and believe in him, the light of the world? Verse 18 says that truth divided the world. He who believes in him is not condemned. No judgment, no condemnation to those who believed in him. He who does not believe is condemned already, though. There are those who think they can sit on the fence and make the decision later in life. If you've not believed, you're already condemned. You're in one place. You're either not condemned because you believed in him, or you're condemned because you haven't. That's the situation. He says, because you're condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. But look at verse 19. This is the condemnation. Why would men choose condemnation? Doesn't make any sense, does it? Why would they? Why did the condemnation come? It's this. This is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world. The light was there. The Lord Jesus Christ was there. But what does it say? Men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. And my first response is, huh? Really? What? Men loved darkness? They did. They loved darkness because their deeds were evil. Look at verse 20. For everyone practicing evil hates the light. They hate the light. He says, and they do not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. These people, these Jews, these Pharisees in particular, and people in general, I think even today, are just like this. They hold to some innate goodness or righteousness that's in them. That's what the Jews held on to, that there's a righteousness in us. People today think there's a basic goodness in them. It's simply not true. And they don't want to acknowledge that what they do is evil. They don't want their evil deeds exposed. They don't want to have to admit that they are sinners and in need of a God and Savior. They simply don't want to admit that. They enjoy their evil deeds. They're having a good time. They're satisfying the desires of the flesh. They're enjoying it. They don't want to give it up. That's the way the world is. That's why they hated the light. That's why they hated the light. People today are no different from the Jews of Jesus' day. The majority of the people in the world reject the Lord Jesus Christ as the Son of God and as the Savior of the world. They refuse God's gracious offer of salvation from their sins. They refuse to believe the simple gospel message that Jesus Christ died for our sins, paid the penalty in full for our sins, that he rose again from the dead, and that he will give life to all who will trust, that he will reconcile them to God if they'll simply believe that wonderful gospel message that Christ died and rose again, that he died for their sins. Why won't people hear? I mean, they want something so difficult. They want to be put under some system of law where they've got to go to church and attend a church and join a church and go through rituals and be baptized and do this and give a certain amount of money and tithe. They want to be put under some system of law. I don't understand that, but that comes from the old sin nature. The old sin nature, yes, wants that, wants to be involved, wants to do something. It's pride. But the simple message is that God has done it all. Jesus Christ has done the work completely. It's finished. And all we have to do to receive it is to believe in Him and to believe in what He's accomplished for us. But people don't want to acknowledge their sins. They don't want to acknowledge their need of a Savior. They don't want their wicked deeds exposed. They don't want to give up a lifestyle that in many ways is satisfying to them in the flesh. They don't want to give it up. And so they cling to that. What do most people in the world today do then? What do the Jews do? People today and people back then turn away from the light of God's Word. They turn away from the light of God's Word. They reject it as the inspired Word of God. They reject it as truth, as absolute truth. They reject it as a moral standard, that there are moral absolutes of good and evil, right and wrong. And they will not even take an honest look at the testimony of the Scriptures. Most people who rejected the Bible have never looked and listened to what the Bible has to say. Have never examined for themselves carefully and closely. Isn't this the Word of God? Can I trust this book? They've never looked at it. They don't want to hear it. They don't want their deeds exposed by the light of God's Word. They turn away from the light of God's Son. They reject Him as the sinless Son of God. They reject His sacrificial death on Calvary for their sins as anything that was necessary or sufficient. They reject His resurrection from the dead because, you see, that event proves who He was, who He is. That proves He is the Son of God. It proves that He is the sacrifice, the propitiation for the world's sins, was proved by His resurrection. He was declared by that resurrection to be the Son of God. They suppress the truth. They suppress the truth in their ungodliness and in their unrighteousness. They suppress that even though there is a clear testimony of God's Word that is there, that leaves them without excuse. There is a clear testimony of the written Word, the Scriptures. There is a clear testimony of the living Word, the Lord Jesus Christ. And when they reject that, they're rejecting the truth. They're without excuse. The world is left without excuse, with no defense. They cannot say, God is not fair, God is not just, God is not righteous if He judges me. They cannot say, I did not know, I did not have the opportunity. The truth is there. And I'll leave you with this statement and think this thought this morning. What about you this morning? If you do not believe that Jesus Christ is the great I Am, the sinless Son of God, the eternal Son of God, then you'll die in your sins. You will. If you do not believe the gospel, the good news that Christ died for your sins, and acknowledging that you're a sinner and that you need Him to save you from your sins, if you don't believe that, if you don't believe that He was buried and after 3 days rose again from the dead to give you life, if you don't believe that that trusting in Him and His finished work alone is enough to save you so that you can have eternal life, if you don't believe that message, then you're going to die in your sins. You can refuse to listen to it. You can hear it and reject it if you want to, but it's true. It is the simple truth of God's Word. It was declared to us by the light of the Word of God, the living Word, and the written Word. Jesus Christ is the light of the world. Will you believe in Him and what He accomplished or not? Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank You that this light came into the world, that He showed light in His life, in His perfect words and works, and all that He did, His perfect character, His sinlessness, the perfection. But He demonstrated it even more when He went to the cross of Calvary and took our sins upon Himself there on that cross and paid the penalty for our sins. Father, we thank You that He rose again after 3 days. We thank You that You were satisfied with His offering for our sins, that our sins are paid in full through the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. If there's a person sitting here in this congregation today who has never believed the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, never believed the wonderful gospel that we see and presented in the Word, never believed in this wonderful person as the very sinless Son of God, we just pray that You will bring conviction to their hearts right now of the fact that they're sinners and that they need You, that they're going to die in their sins if they don't trust and believe in Christ as their Savior. We pray, Father, that they'll be convicted right now of those sins and convicted of that need right now and believe in Christ right now, right where they are, where they're sitting in their seats right now. They don't have to come down front. They don't have to raise their hand. They don't have to shake a preacher's hand. They don't have to join a church. They don't have to do anything but trust in Christ and that finished work and know that they have eternal life. They are removed out from darkness and translated into the kingdom of the Son of His love, from darkness to light, sons of light, and made fit to be partakers of the inheritance of the sons in light. We pray, Father, that they will make that choice this day, this moment, right now, to trust Christ as Savior. For those of us, Father, who have trusted the Lord Jesus and know Him, we just pray that we'll walk in the light day by day. Let the light of Jesus Christ show forth through us to a world that is in darkness, to a world that needs to see the light, needs to hear the gospel. We pray, Father, that we may be that lamp. We may be lights that shine in the world so that they can see Christ in us and come to trust Him as Savior. And we pray that everything we do will bring glory and honor to You. We just ask these things now in our Savior's name. Amen.